Welcome to St. Paul's Sunday's Snippets. This is a time where we stop to intentionally reflect upon the readings appointed for this day. I pray that as you hear the scripture, as you reflect with me upon it, that it would come into your life and that it would bear much fruit in your daily walk. Now we begin in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. O God, with steadfast love, you draw us to yourself, and in mercy you receive our prayers. Strengthen us to bring forth the fruits of the Spirit, that through life and death we may live in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Now, our psalm that's appointed for this day is Psalm 51. The psalmist writes, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. In your great compassion, blot out my offenses. Wash me through and through from my wickedness, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my offenses, and my sin is ever before me. Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are justified when you speak and right in your judgment. Indeed, I was born steeped in wickedness, a sinner from my mother's womb. Indeed, you delight in truth deep within me and would have me known wisdom deep within. Remove my sin with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be purer than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness, that the body you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my wickedness. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with your bountiful spirit." The word of the Lord. As you heard the psalm, for some people, it may sound familiar. It's actually one of the liturgical texts that we use pretty frequently as the offertory. "Create in me a clean heart, O God." Right? We sing that. This psalm proclaims and helps us to remember our sinfulness and to call upon God to wash us, to create in us a clean heart, to cast not your spirit upon us, but restore to us the joy and salvation that's been extended to us through Christ, our Savior and Lord. As we hear this, it seems kind of pretty straightforward of, you know, take my sin away from me. But when we hear what we think is the context, I think it takes it to an even deeper level. The tradition goes that this is a psalm that's written by King David. And it really comes after his encounter of all that happened. King David, who had everything, right? That he was the king of Israel and more than he could ever want. And yet, even though he had everything, the text tells us one day he was on his roof and looked out and saw a woman. And when he saw her, he decided he had to have her. And so had this affair with Bathsheba. That affair resulted in adultery. And part of it is, as the story unfolds, it's one of those things where it's like, wait a minute, can this possibly be? Because it compounds one thing after another. Not does he just fail in having the affair, but then he tries to cover it up. And just like in our world today, what we learn, if you don't learn anything else from stuff going on in our world, the cover-up is always worse than the event, right? So David's trying to cover it up. So he sends message and has the wife of Bathsheba, Uriah, who's in his military, high up in the military, and has him come back home, thinking if he comes back home, he's going to be back home, and what is he going to do? He's going to go and sleep with his wife, and then they'll think the child is theirs, problem solved. But Uriah, being a righteous person, decides, nope, it's not fair for me to go and experience the warmth of my wife when my soldiers are out in the field, so he sleeps at the door. And so he's like, oh, you know, David's attempt to cover it up is fooled. So then, to compound everything, David sends a message to another military person to say, engage in this battle and have Uriah be out front, essentially signing Uriah's death, you know, death notice, that he has him up front, so he's going to end up being killed. So all of this to cover up his affair. And then on top of it, David still doesn't quite see what he's done wrong. And so God sends Jonathan, a loyal friend and companion, to be with him, and tells David this story about two people, a king that has all kinds of animals and land and has everything he wants, and another person who has one little lamb. And something happens, and the king goes, oh, we need to have a feast. And so he orders that they kill the lamb of this man and have that as the feast. And David gets angry. How can that be? This person has everything. He could kill one of his lambs without any problem, and yet he takes the one from this other man. And Jonathan says, well, you are that person. And the Spirit works in his life and convicts him. And we think that's the background, that David has a change of heart, and he writes these words. And as we hear them, it's this sense of confession of, I have failed, right? Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, right? I don't deserve it, but yet have mercy on me. In your great compassion, because you are a generous and gracious God, blot out my offenses. Take away my sin. Wash me through and through from my wickedness and cleanse me from my sins. I know I have failed you, and yet you still love me. And then at the end, he talks about create in me a clean heart. The Hebrew word here for create is the same that goes back to Genesis, where God created. Let there be light. God created the heavens and the earth and the stars and the animals and the plants and everything. And this verb for create only happens here and in Genesis. That it seems like this word is used for God's creativeness. That it's God who does this. And I think that's significant. Because sometimes I think when we've made a mess, When we've messed up, we go, I need to do this. I need to make this right. I need to, you know, figure this out. And the psalm here really says, wait a minute, no. It's not that David does it, but he cries out to God, create in me a clean heart. That it's God's actions, God's work. I can't save myself. I can't forgive myself. But I cry out that God would create in me a clean heart, that God would wash me through and through, that God will forgive my sins. We acknowledge it, and we cry out to God, but it's God who forgives, God who washes, God who creates that new heart in us. It's God's action. God who does all of this, and he does it because he loves us. Because he's the one who has created us And because of his love, he restores us. That it's God's work. And for us to lean into that and to cry out, create in us a clean heart. Wash me through and through. And part of it is when we try to do it ourselves, what we end up doing is creating a bigger and bigger mess. David thought he could handle it, right? He had the fair. It's like, oh, I got this, right? I can cover it up. Here's plan A, doesn't work. Oh, plan B, right? And each time what he does is he digs a bigger and bigger and bigger hole. God goes, at some point, won't you learn? What we do is we come clean and we confess to God, I made a mess of this. Come, wash me. Create in me a clean heart. And as we conclude the season of Lent, Lent is really a season where we focus upon our sinfulness, our need for the cross. And this psalm reminds us of that and tells us that it's God's work. We come to the foot of the cross to cry out, and God says, here, I will save you. I will give you salvation. I will create in you a clean heart and place my spirit within you so your joy may be restored and you would have life and have it abundantly. Amen. Let us pray. Mighty God, you are the creator of all. Send your spirit upon us to help us to see where we fail you and do not live a life that brings you honor and glory, so that we may confess to you our failings. Then, O Lord, have mercy on us. Wash us through and through to cleanse us and make us new. Create in us clean hearts and put your spirit within us. Restore us and sustain us all of our lives through. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Now, as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way. May he go behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you peace. Amen.